pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thank you for being with us on this Friday morning. Friday is probably Friday. Hour number two begins right now. Text line if you want to be in touch with the program, 251-343-0106. That's how you get in touch with the show, and we'll respond to whatever it is that is on your mind. Still to come on the program, Scott Stadthagen. He is the Alabama Republican Party chairman. Recently elected about a few months ago, beginning of the spring. April Marie Fogle, our Thursday regular, who we moved to Friday. So you never get enough April Marie Fogle on FM Talk 106.5 ever, but she'll be with us. Let's get to some text here. Ella writes, yes, that's the same Mike Vann who had the car dealership at Bay Minette. Tim says all he wants to talk about is school board. Maybe that's where he should have stayed. Leo, morning, Jeff. If you have not already, please remind people there are some important races next to vote in next week. Yeah, there's still an election next week. They didn't cancel it. Maybe if you think the election was canceled, I don't know. Do you really keep up with it enough to know who to vote for? There's a lot of fear about that, listen, from these campaigns. Hey, man, there's still an election Tuesday. You still got to vote for us. Toothless Bammer, interesting. Georgia gubernatorial race, millions spent on primaries, mainly by Jackson, who talks tough, but I read where he is backed by Pitts and John Kasich. Sean, I'd never heard of old Rhett Marcus until he wanted my vote. Well, to be fair to him, he represented a district in Coffee County. There's probably not much reason you would have heard of him unless you were a follower of the Alabama legislature. And to be honest here, like, how many lawmakers in the legislature could you name, Sean? So all these guys are starting from scratch. They got to raise their name ID. You got to get to know them. Rhett, I'm sorry, I got a mailer yesterday touting his Baldwin County credentials. Fairhope High, grew up in Spanish Fort. I guess he won't be running on that anymore. Wayne, good morning, Jeff. Thank you for explaining one of the possibilities as to why Katie Britt was backing anyone other than Jerry Carl. I kind of felt all along, based on the Britt endorsement commercials, that she wanted someone who would vote the way she wanted to vote. That's why I personally do not take endorsements into consideration. Kudos to Jerry Carl for not voting for a bill he did not believe in. Washington does not need a bunch of bootlicking yes men or women. Yeah, you hear it in her when she talks about Red in her ads that she was running. Remember, it's like the fighter that Donald Trump and I need. But that was the vote, I think, that kind of soured or poisoned the well with her and Jerry Carl. And there's also this aspect to it that you got to think about. I mean, she wants to be a player here. She likes, I don't know if she's necessarily quite the kingmaker yet, but there's a little bit of that. There's a lot of conversations I think that are going to be had here in the next few days about the first congressional district. And all anybody wanted to talk to me about yesterday was, what do you think about the possibility of a Jerry Carl, Chris Elliott congressional primary? Now, here's the parameters we're operating in. This is unlike any other election. It is a what they call a jungle primary. There's no runoff. You just have to get a plurality. and the top vote getter gets a nomination. So the bar is a little lower. The threshold is a little lower to be a congressman, because if you get the Republican nod in three of these four districts, I mean, you're not really going to have much of a challenge on the Democrat side. So it's all the marbles are, it's, you know, that's what's up for grabs here. It's just as Todd and I were talking about. He is, whoever he or she that runs, you know, there's a lot of possibilities here. There's an easier path. It's an abbreviated cycle, so you wouldn't necessarily have to raise as much money. Sure, you can't transfer state money to federal. You're going to have to kind of start from scratch. And self-funders, people who are independently wealthy, will have an advantage. Watch what Club for Growth does. That's also going to be something to consider. Watch what Donald Trump does. When he come in at the last minute, would Tommy Tuberville get involved? If Katie Britt got involved? There's a lot of possibilities here. And the rumor mill is just overheated, is the way I would describe it. Because there's a lot of people. And let me explain to you the business of politics. It's a seedy cesspool. You know, it is. But everybody's trying to find their next meal ticket. There's a lot of people out there. Hey, there's a lot of consultants out there looking for another cash grab. And they're looking around. Hey, this guy's rich. Let's try to sell this guy on, hey, you could be a member of Congress. Just pay me and I'll set up your campaign. We'll establish a fundraising infrastructure. We'll raise money. We'll do all of the ad buys, the messaging, and the imaging. You want to hire me to do that? All you got to do is go and pound the pavement, knock on doors, go to Republican meetings, go to Rotary Club meetings, give a speech, go shake some hands. Leave the rest to us. And they raise the money and they get a cut. And there's a lot of that that's going on, and it will go on. There's a lot of people you see running in politics, and you're like, I don't think it's going to work out for you. Just right initially, you're like, this person doesn't really have the charisma, the people skills. What led you to think that you could be elected to this high office, whatever it is? And you think, I just don't see it working out for you. But then upon further review, what's the truth here is that it is somebody got into your ear and told you, hey, you could do this, and sort of coaches them up. And I think you're going to see that with this sprint congressional election cycle. Mike, what's Todd Ivey going to do once Coach Turbin replaces Meemaw and he loses his exclusive access to be one of the administration's mouthpieces? Seriously, it'll be a breath of fresh air having a competent governor who can and will speak publicly. I'm not sure what's going to, if anything will really happen there. That show's been around a long time. He may not have the unique perspective and insight that he has, because he sort of has the market cornered on who the governor's office really likes to talk to and deal with and work with. They have their favorites, but everybody does in politics. So Todd Stacey, he's still very relevant to the discussion. And we have him on because he talks to people that I just don't have access to. Primarily the governor at her office. He knows what's going on. You want to be informed? You want to know what people at Ivy's office are thinking? Don't ask me. They don't talk to Jeff Poore. I just have to hear it secondhand. And that's the objective there. I can't stand Wheel of Fortune, period. Only time I ever see Wheel of Fortune is when there's a sporting event and we leave the TV on, the channel that it comes on, whatever it is. It used to be must-see TV in the poorhouse when I was really young in the 80s. And we would talk about it the next day at school. Jason, Jeff, have you have any insight on the recent lawsuit filed against Sheriff Birch? I have no insight. And last text here, you could buy pills to kill your baby, but you may not buy ivermectin to stop and treat diseases. There is proof of evil. Think you can't. Didn't they change that? Maybe they won't sell ivermectin to you. Tim, speaking of Wheel of Fortune, I have one of those Playboy Vanna White magazines. I guess I must have discarded it. I would hope so, Tim. Anyway, enough of that. Sharing is caring, Tim. New York Times piece today. Headline. Who might run for president in 2028? The very long list. And there's a lot of names on here. A lot of people. I see Warnock, Jasmine Crockett, AOC, Holly, Wes Moore, Laura Trump, Tucker, Greg Abbott, Gavin Newsom, Nancy Mace, Amy Klobuchar, Brian Donalds, RFK Jr., Tim Scott. Mark Cuban. DeSantis, Sarah Sanders, Vivek, Steve Bannon. Oh, well, here's one. Katie Britt. There's your Alabama connection. And you read down and it goes through all these candidates. They got the vice presidents, obviously J.D. Vance, Kamala Harris, Trump administration. They got Rubio, Hegseth, Tulsi Gabbard, Doug Burgum. Biden administration, cast-offs, Raimondo, Landrieu, Rahm Emanuel, Peter Buttigieg. Democrat governors, Beshear, Westmore, Gavin Newsom, Jared Polis, J.B. Pritzker, Josh Shapiro, and Gretchen Whitmer. Republican governors, Greg Abbott, Spencer Cox, DeSantis, Kemp, Huckabee Sanders, and Glenn Youngkin. Got some Democrat senators, got Slotkin, Booker, Gallego, Kelly, Klobuchar, Murphy, Ossoff, Van Hollander, and Warnock, and the Republican senators, Katie Britt, Tom Cotton, Ted Cruz, Josh Hawley, David McCormick, Rand Paul, Tim Scott, and Rick Scott. Long list there. More of that in just a moment. Stick around. This is the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
It's where I found Jesus, where I wrecked my first car. I tore it all to pieces. I learned the path to heaven, just full of sinners and believers. Learned that happiness on earth.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poore Show on FM Talk 106.5. Coming up in the next segment, Alabama Republican Party Chairman Scott Stadthagen will be with us. Also later in the program, April Marie Fogle, you never get enough April. Marie Fogle on FM Talk 106.5. So that's coming up here in just a few moments. Make sure you stay where you are. Let's continue on. Somebody asked me this. Forgive me for not knowing, Jeff. What is Andrew Sorrell doing to selection cycle? I heard that state auditor will be different this year. No, it is. He is. So initially, he was running for Secretary of State. And then that looked like that was a going to be very difficult. Caroline Dobson just seemed unbeatable, I guess, to him. Or very difficult to beat. And maybe about a week or so before the qualifying period began, he announced he was going to run for state auditor. You had a candidate who was already running, already established a presence in that race, Derek Chin. So set up what is the most expensive state auditor race in the history of the state. But Andrew Sorrell is running for re-election in his office, and he is running for state auditor. He's on the ballot on Tuesday. I talked to him yesterday, but he is running. Back to us about Katie Britt for president. She probably laughed that off. But she's in the discussion here. I'll continue the progressives, Ro Khanna, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, other House members, Jasmine Crockett, Jason Crow, Jim Jordan, Elise Stefanik, the Trump exiles, Marjorie Taylor Greene, Nancy Mace, Mike Pompeo, the politicians. You can make a quick leap. They have Donald Plattner, the Nazi tattoo guy in Maine, Vivek Ramaswamy, Rob Sand, and James Tallarico, who seems to be like very... I'm very popular among the left. Media figures, Steve Bannon, my old boss, Tucker Carlson, my other old boss, Mark Cuban, Matt Gaetz, formerly of the 1st Congressional District over in Florida, just to the east, and Stephen A. Smith. Trump family members, they got Don Jr., and they have Laura Trump. Those are who the New York Times, that's a long list, and that's a lot of faces and names. But the Katie Britt one is the one that pops out. I think she is probably a text for Republicans who you know how the Republican establishment thinks. Well, if we just get a mom, a female, someone that's relatable. I think in our politics, we exaggerate the relatable angle here. And not that Senator Britt doesn't have the qualifications. She certainly does. But they really look hard at that. Like the person on the ticket is going to give a boost to the entire ticket. And it sometimes it works. It certainly worked with John McCain with Sarah Palin for a little while. And then the media did their hatchet jobs and they went after Sarah Palin. But there you have it. Katie Britt on the list of what do we have here? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So that's 60, 72. 83 people they have as potential presidential candidates in 2028. Some of these, I think, are more of the running mate ilk. Democrats are very interesting. A lot of blue circles on this story. And I don't think you have a clear front runner. Like, we got to get through November 3rd. Once you get past November 3rd, I mean, you really, it's the way it's shaping up. It's not going to be a Hillary election cycle where they are, even a Biden one, where they set up everything for a certain candidate. They just, I don't think they have that sort of ability on the Democrat side to do that anymore. And they have a real interesting contest there, I'm convinced. Let's get a break in here. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
I gave you my heart.
to the Jeff Poehler Show at FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for being with us on this Friday morning. Text line, you want to be in touch with the show, keep hitting us up there, 251-343-0106. April Rory Fogle, about an hour from now. We had to move her around because we had just a loaded show yesterday, and she was gracious enough to take a slot on today's program. But joining us now, speaking of today's program, he is our Alabama Republican Party chairman. I got to know him really well his time in the legislature. He's still in the legislature, but he's been over the years. He hosted this show for about two and a half years in his office there on the fourth floor of what it will soon be the torn down state house. But Scott Stagan is with us, chairman. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing well, Jeff. Man, I appreciate you having me on your show. How are you doing?
Doing well, doing well. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for making time for us. We appreciate it. Well, let's start here. We'll get to your event in just a moment. But talk a little bit about the new gig and how that's going.
Man, I'm absolutely loving it. You know, going into this, I was optimistic, and it's like being majority leader, but to a bigger level. Instead of having caucus members, you know, that I've got to help, now I've got party members that I've got to help, and there's a whole lot more of them. But I'm really enjoying it. We've hit the ground running. Our mindset is the party's going to be better tomorrow than it is today, and we're going to better ourselves every single day. And I'm just really excited, man.
Well, and I mean, and this is very unique times we are living in. Politically, especially on the Republican side, how I mean, you just kind of, nothing seems to surprise a lot of us watching things these days. How's it on your end? You know, special elections, and you're thrust into it right in the middle in the heat of a primary. What's it been like?
Yeah, so that's been a little confusing. Just trying to figure out the legalities of everything, right? Because this is, I don't know if we've ever had this situation in the history of our state. Of the time frame, and it's been fun, exciting, just making sure that, you know, the party is doing what they need to do for us and the candidates that are running for this, for those offices. And I feel bad for the candidates because they've been running, you know, for CD1 and CD2, and here we go. You know, now you got some that are fixing to flip ship and start running for CD2. So it's just been very interesting in making sure that we're here for those candidates to make sure if they've got questions, or the constituents as well, the voters, they've got a lot of questions. And that's, our office lines have been blowing up with constituents and, you know, people wondering, you know, so what does this mean? And that's why I really appreciate you having me on your show, so we can kind of talk about it on a broad base and let people know kind of what we're dealing with.
Well, like I said, we'll get to your event here. It's a very important event in just a moment, but you got a qualifying period coming up, and that's always, at least from my experience of talking to those guys at the ALGOP office, I mean, that's a very busy time. You ready for that?
I am. I'm looking forward to it. You know, I've always, when I was a candidate myself, I'd always come down and qualify in person. And I always enjoyed that, going to the party headquarters and seeing everybody. And it was just kind of a ceremonial thing for my family and I. And I hope others do that as well, and let us host them as they come. But, yeah, we're looking forward to it. I don't think it's going to be as crazy as it was with the statewide races all qualifying. But hopefully people come to our headquarters and qualify in person. And I'm just looking forward to all of it.
Well, I guess, have you worked out through some of this, the legality of it? Do you understand who is eligible? And I guess the question, and if you don't have an answer, that's fine. If somebody wins on the 19th, the Republican nomination, could they turn around and run for Congress and still be the nominee for that particular office outside of the four congressional races?
So we're actually having a steering committee today at headquarters, and that is going to be something we discuss. That has been brought to our attention. We've been speaking to our legal team about it and per bylaws and all that good stuff. So that will be actually one of the line items of our steering committee meeting today, because it's, you know, it's a little, you know, it could go, I'm just going to let them kind of lead the reins on that one, and let's discuss it with our legal team. But yes, that is something we're looking into to see if, you know, if that is correct or not.
So to be continued, we'll have some clarity on that in short order. You seem to think.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And I mean, you know, it's, you look at the facts and you make sure that the decision that's made by the party is the correct decision, right? And fair to everyone. And I think that's probably the most difficult line item we have on our steering committee meeting today.
Any other, anything else that needs to be on the radar?
So Monday we've got our, we're praying for our state and all of our candidates that are running. You know, a lot of people don't realize what toll it takes on families and the candidates themselves, and it's very difficult, and we need to raise them up in prayer and make sure that, you know, they're covered in prayer going into Tuesday, and our state's covered in prayer going into Tuesday. So I'm really excited about that. We've got Pastor Travis Johnson from down in your neck of the woods, and then also the Pro Tem Garland Gudger and the Speaker of the House, Nathaniel Ledbetter, are all going to be here as well. And I'm really excited about Monday going into the primaries. It's just going to be a good event, man.
Well, and let's give the details here. It's at the ALGOP headquarters at Hoover, right?
Correct. Yes, 3505 Lorna Road. It starts, we kick off at 11 o'clock. And we've got Miss Donna Johnson that's going to start us off in singing. I don't know if you've ever heard of her singing, but she has got a voice from heaven. But it's going to be a really good event.
Well, y'all, if you're in the area, check that out. You know, we always talk about this with the past chairman when they come on the program. You're waiting to see where these primaries are going to go. And once you start having nominees, that's when the Alabama Republican Party really gets in the gear and starts playing more of a role in these elections, right?
Yes, correct. And I'm looking forward to that. Kind of, you get your team, right? And you got the big game in the fall, and you make sure that your team's prepared and you give them all the tools they need to be successful in November. And I'm really excited about that part of my new role, because that's stuff that I love to do. I love helping others, and I love strategizing and making sure that we're doing what needs to be done to be successful. And that's probably one of the most things I'm looking forward to in this role.
And so let's talk about this, because I you know, now you don't have to give it, you know, too much strategy or whatever away, but there are some potential Republican pickups that may be held by Democrats. There's some things here that you think Republicans can really have some gains here.
Possibly so, absolutely. We're very mindful. I'm very hopeful for CD7. I think we can really make a good push in CD7 in the fall. I think it's very doable. I think once we get out and get there, you got to have the right candidate for that race. But I think we could possibly, you know, everybody says it's a 6-1 map. I'm looking at the numbers at CD7, and they are very close, and I feel very good about possibly winning that one in November.
And even if you don't get, I mean, if it's close, you're still setting up for the future. So, you look at a CD7, it's going to be a difficult race. You seem to think it's winnable. But even if you don't win it, you're still kind of building for the future for someday. Governor Tuberville, or, you know, if the next legislature may change things in a more favorable way for Republicans, and you will put the work in a little bit to some degree already.
Absolutely. You know, when Coach takes over, I think a lot of things are going to change. I think he's going to bring a new mindset to state government, and from his experiences up, you know, in D.C., and I think a lot of things are going to change in the way he governs. I'm looking forward to his leadership, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I think there's a lot of people in CD7 who vote Democrat, but they're Republicans, and they feel like they have to vote that way to have a voice. And I want to prove to them that you don't have to vote that way. You can actually vote Republican, because there's a lot of you guys who have that mindset. So, but this is the general, so that's, you know, that's not really going to play an effect. But I truly think that we will come very close, if not to, you know, not take the victory on it. But you're right. Once we can show CD7 if we are not successful, look how close we got. And we, you know, we can do this.
That you're a viable party with ideas that are, you know, not the 10,000 foot view, but you really get the local electorate and the issues that confront them, whatever it may be, agriculture, you know, infrastructure, just rural health care, things like that. You know, there's not been as of late, because Republicans have sort of they deferred to the Democrat on that and not really contested it.
That's right. Absolutely. And I mean, at the end of the day, if you look at, just think of it as a national level as well, what the Democrats represent. You know, they're okay with transgenders reading to kids in libraries. They're okay with drag shows inappropriately handling themselves in front of minors. To me, I cannot see the constituents of CD7 being okay with that. And actually having that that's accepted in our society. Once that message is sent to all the members of that, all the voters of that district, I think they're going to realize, yes, we are Republicans. We are going to stand against this sick and sinful stuff that's taking place in our society. And that's what the Democrat Party is representing right now on a national level as well. The stuff they do in D.C. and the stuff that our current congresswoman is voting on makes me sick to my stomach. And I think once that's brought to light, people are going to start paying closer attention, and they're going to want to support the Republican nominee for our values.
Joined by Scott Steinhagen here on the program. He's the chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. He's also a member of the Alabama legislature. And I don't know how far along you've gotten on this part of it, but you and I have talked about a little bit. The way the legislature will work in concert with the party under your leadership, that there will be more collaboration, if you will, between the party and the legislature, maybe more than there's ever been in the past, because of your unique role as a member of the legislature and as the chairman of the party. But, you know, there's always been sort of a little bit of a disconnect there, but you feel like that you can kind of bridge some of that.
Absolutely. You know, yes, there has been separation between the party and the legislature, and I really don't understand why. And I just think because, you know, down in Montgomery, you're focused on the work in front of you, and it's hard for us to kind of communicate with party members. And this is a perfect opportunity for me to bridge that gap, like you said, for us to get involved. You know, the party, we're all on the same team, and we all hold the same values, and it's time for us to come together and get legislation that we support together and have victories and bring it together as a team. And I think that's exactly what I bring to the table. You know, the party, we do resolutions, and we vote on resolutions, and we're going to turn those resolutions into legislation, and that has general impact, generational impact. Resolution's a strong statement. What we're going to bring to the table is making a difference for the future of our kids and for our state.
And you know, it's just it's the issues. It's the potential. It's knowing what, I guess, some of the subject matter. And you go to these Republican Party meetings of the executive committee, and yeah, there are just a book full of resolutions that you guys will vote on. And sometimes they're contentious, but you feel like now it won't be just we're going to send them this piece of paper saying we support this, but there'll actually be a mechanism in place to get some of that enacted.
Absolutely. And, you know, there's a lot of things that us as legislators, we know like the details of certain things, whereas, you know, the public doesn't. A lot of people in in our society, they see the titles of a bill that's passed, but they don't know, you know, some of the things that that could happen in that piece of legislation. And that's the part that I can explain to our party members as well on legislation, on other, you know, other bills, where I can explain it in depth to them, kind of like we're in caucus and we talk about legislation. I can do the same for our state executive committee members and let them kind of get the Paul Harvey of the legislation, and just that transparency and educating them on what we're actually doing in Montgomery is going to be a huge difference as well. And having, you know, a package of bills for the party that the governor is in favor of, that the pro tem and the Senate, the speaker of the house is in favor of. And for us to have that going across the finish line and having Coach sign it, I mean, that's going to be awesome. I cannot wait for that day. And we're going to celebrate in Montgomery as Republicans when that takes place.
Chairman, get you out of here on this. Folks want to get involved in the party. They want to find out more about the party, get in touch. They want to know more about your event. Is there a place they can look, place they can go? Can you point them in the right direction?
Absolutely. And I also want to touch on one thing before we finish up too, Jeff. But, yeah, call the headquarters. You can look us up online. We're on Facebook. All the social media links, we're on those. But also, I think it's very, very crucial that the voters of Congressional District 1 and 2 know that you have to get out and vote. This is extremely important. Although we've got special elections coming up, we have a lot more Republicans on those ballots that need your voice and for it to be heard. So I want to encourage every single person that's listening to this, you have got to get out and let your voice be heard. Too many people have died fighting for you to have that right, and I want you to exercise that right on Tuesday.
Chairman, we appreciate your time. We'll talk again soon.
Thank you, Jeff. Take care, buddy.
All right. That is Scott Stadegan, chairman of the Alabama Republican Party. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Late again, watching TV with my best friend, laughing at the late night show. I don't know what's wrong with me, cause I know I need my rest, but if I don't stay up all night, sleep all day, I ain't at my best. Hey, yes we are.
Welcome back to the Jeff Porter Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Friday morning. 251-343-0106. Tim, I'm not voting for your little pawn shop buddy, Andrew Sorrell. My little pawn shop buddy. Well, he's probably not going to vote for you either, Tim. He probably is getting ready to text in and say, Jeff, I'm not voting for your little text buddy, Tim. That's what he's probably going to say. I know you're not little, but come on, man. Anyway, mommy issues. Jeff, he spoke. We got a lot to read here. That's rich Republican values, except on the Epstein files. No Medicaid expansion for one of the poorest states in America, coupled with the fact that maternity hospitals are closing with over 600,000 residents without insurance. Well, mommy issues, you want to make a difference here? You need to be chairman of the Alabama Democratic Party. I know you say you're not a Democrat, but man, I tell you what, they could sure use someone parroting the talking points like you do on this text line. I mean, you want to be somebody? I know that daddy told you never were going to amount to much. But here's your chance. You should run for Democratic Party chairman, because they sure need one. Terry, I am voting for your pawn shop buddy. I voted for him last time, too. I don't know how that race is going to go. I like Derek Chen. I like Andrew Sorrell. And Derek's worked really, really, really hard. But he is also self-funded. And he's put a lot of money into the race. It's gotten a little chippy here. It's gotten a little, it's not quite a mudslinging, dirty, nasty campaign level, but I don't know how much auditor can, you know, as my friend Dale Jackson calls it, the counter of desk. But it's fascinating because it's a down ballot race with not a whole lot of interest. How many people in the voting, you know, among likely voters are even aware of who these people are? Mommy issues, I learned reparenting from you, listening to you choke on the boot. See, that's your thing. Like, you assume that I'm getting sent marching orders. You know, no. I like how liberals think that no one can, like, genuinely hold values that are antithetical to theirs, because they finished night correspondence school and are smarter than you and I. We'll be right back. This is FM Talk 106.5.
Sleep tight, darling, and close your pretty brown eyes.